What was your take on the bone and fracture data at this point?
Again, that's a very important outcome from the 68-month follow-up, which I found very reassuring thus far. The fact that the incidence in fractures was clearly apparent during treatment, and we looked very, very carefully at the hazard rates year by year, and it happens very, very quickly. Within a year, you're up to a 50% increase in fractures, so that's surprising that it happens quickly. And it remains pretty much a 40 to 50% increase over the 5 years of treatment. But now with the follow-up out to over 6 years on many patients, we're actually seeing also that the effect is over very, very quickly, and that in year six, the rates are actually the same as tamoxifen. So I think it's a little bit early to be absolutely certain about that, but the next analysis I think that we'll want to do will be another update on the fracture data, because certainly if it has disappeared within the 5 years of treatment, that's very, very important.
What do we know about the effects of bone density monitoring and the use of bisphosphonates in terms of preventing bone loss and fractures with AIs?
The fact is we don't really know very much about that. There's a lot of expectation that bisphosphonates will be fully effective in terms of controlling this. I rely very much on my colleague Richard Eastall to advise us on this. In the ATTACK trial, there was a bone study looking at a couple of hundred patients in each arm, looking at what happens in terms of bone density. We've got the two-year data, which we hope to be out published soon. The five-year data is nearing completion. We'll be able to look at what happens in terms of bone density over 5 years. Probably the most important chance of really looking at bone will be in the IBIS-2 trial, where we actually are getting baseline DEXA scans on everybody that goes into that trial, all the women who will have baseline DEXAs. And for the first 1,000 women, we're encouraging them to go into a bone subprotocol where we'll also have DEXA scans at years 1, 3, 5, and 7. So we'll be able to monitor this very, very carefully. And we're also doing some prophylactic use of bisphosphonates in the moderate to severe osteopenic patients.
And just to clarify, the IBIS-2 study is anastrozole versus placebo as a preventive.
Yeah, the IBIS-2 study is our follow-on prevention study. And after a lot of debate, we felt that we couldn't recommend tamoxifen routinely as the standard of care. So we've decided to go and use an AI, that is anastrozole versus placebo, for 5 years in high-risk postmenopausal women.
And I want to chat with you about that later, but also to clarify, as part of that study, patients with DCIS can participate, my understanding is, and that's anastrozole versus tamoxifen?
Yeah, there really are two parts to the study. One is the prevention stratum, which is 6,000 women, and that's for women at high risk, although we also include some DCIS patients in that group if they've had a mastectomy. They are at very high risk of contralateral new tumors in the other breast. So we view really the treatment of DCIS almost as a prevention study anyway. Almost half of the events that occur in women with DCIS are actually contralateral events in the long term. So prevention of new tumors is a very important part of that strategy. But to directly answer your question, the other group that's going into IBIS-2, the DCIS stratum, are actually women who had locally excised DCIS. We require clear margins and that they be receptor positive either for ER or PGR. And those patients, we feel, need some sort of hormonal adjuvant treatment. And the randomization is between tamoxifen or anastrozole.
Getting back to ATTACK and bone, the one database that I know a lot of people talk about in terms of bisphosphonates is the Austrian study, which of course is in premenopausal patients using ovarian suppression plus tamoxifen, ovarian suppression plus anastrozole, and they just presented their updated data again at San Antonio. What are your thoughts about those data?
Well, I think those data are reassuring in the sense that in this premenopausal group that have had complete ovarian ablation with LHRH plus anastrozole, that the addition of a bisphosphonate actually completely abrogates any loss of bone density. And in fact, the bone density is flat in that group. So that's, I guess, some good evidence that we will at least not prevent bone loss.